The one thing that I like about Texas Southern is your players, how they adapt to their situation. A lot of teams build their success on their home wins. It prepares them for the road. But Texas Southern, the road prepares them for the season.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the mental part of it. You know, and I can expand on that a lot because, you know, in the way that we prepare our kids mentally, there's been a lot of times where I felt like we were actually better on the road than we are at the home field at the place where we play at, being in McGregor Park, because it's a city field and stuff. Sometimes I see it as being a distraction. And so we've always tried to prepare our kids in a way that they kind of started like going into battle, you know, into the battlefield and stuff. And that's kind of the mentality we want them to have, a Spartan type, military type mindset, where we're going to go on the road and be able to defeat you at your own field, you know, and it's paid off for us.
Well, your players. I want to take a turn for a minute and talk about you got some starters that have been there 4 years, and they've done some wonderful things in 4 years. Cameron Dukes, I would not be surprised to see his name on some collegiate baseball awards list. I also would not be surprised if Christian Sanchez was also included. Cameron Dukes has been there for 4 years. The things he's done with the bat, the things he's done, not just his bat, but he's also won some academic awards. I know last year he was on the state of Texas, I think it's I forget the name, Robert something, an award he received for academic excellence on the field.
He also won the top male award at Texas Southern, which is the presidential award that normally goes to a senior. But Cameron was able to win it because he has done such great things there at Texas Southern that he got awarded his junior year. And you usually don't see that. So that says a lot about him. The other thing I want to say about him is we try to teach our kids in a way through baseball where we would hope that they would be a better person than a ball player. So I can say that about Cameron, that he's even a better person than he is a ball player. And he's a pretty darn good ball player. The other thing I want to say about him, he is currently holding a 31-game hit streak. He received that hit last night in the ninth inning, so it got kind of tight last night. He actually dropped a punt that when kids do things like this, we say they live it right. So he dropped it and it hit the lip. I don't even know if it hit the lip, but it just skinned fair. The kid looked at it and just stayed fair. So, you know, and I think that's Cameron through and through. You know, anything that happens good for him, he's very deserving of it. But he's been flirting with a .400 batting average all year, or at least for the last month and a half of the season. And he's done it against top competition. You know, look at his numbers and see how, you know, his hits and his RBIs and his stolen bases have been against the top schools. It hadn't been in conference. He's just been consistent all year. And that's him. He is our sole leader. When he goes, then TSU goes. And he's been on base so much for us, in the first inning and collecting most of his hits during the streak on the first pitch of the game. And so he's been able to handle everything without bringing any attention to himself. Because, you know, I can imagine the type of pressure that he has on him. But the one thing during the streak I noticed that he has done, he has kept a collection of information on each pitcher that he will face before we even get to the ballpark. He's usually the one that's telling me about who the start pitcher is, and it kind of gives a scouting report. But I tell you that he's a very intelligent kid, and he takes pride in what he does. And what we call pride is personal responsibility and daily excellence. that's five for us. And he just kept himself in peak performance. And that's what I think has been his motivation to do the things that he's accomplishing this year. And then Christian Sanchez is just having a breakout season. You know, he hit a 15 bomb last night in the ninth inning also.
Yes.
And, you know, he's doing it with the scouting report being there in front of him, and teams have pitched around him, and they pitched to him extremely tough. And I want to tell you that, you know, when the going gets tough for Christian, he get going. You know, he's been able to answer the call. You know, he's been pretty consistent with the bat force all year. And I want to tell you another gentleman that's having a really good season, and you got to watch it because he's starting to catch up to Duke and his numbers, like with his stolen bases and hits and his batting average, and that's Wardencio Luca. He's batting 375, and he has about 60-something hits also. I think Duke has 77, which is you know, tied for a school record. So he'll break it this weekend. But Champion is right behind him, and he's quietly having a really breakout season also.
Well, you got quite a bit of players that have good averages, besides Luca and Duke and Sanchez. Camacho?
Camacho, you know, he's doing his thing, but, you know, we talked a couple weeks ago, and he said, Coach, he said, I'm going to end up with over 30 RBIs, I'm going to have 6 home runs, and I'm going to be batting over 300. And I want to tell you everything that he said, and he's been more consistent. Yeah, he may have not had the season that his potential is capable of, but he's slowly starting to come around. He's been having some really good at-bats over the last couple of weeks. And then Horace LeBlanc is flirting. I don't know where he's at now, but he should be around 300.
He's close, 290.
He's having one of the best years that he's had since he's been at Texas Southern from a power standpoint also because he's hit a lot of singles in the past, but this year he's starting to, you know, you can tell the kid has gotten stronger and he's developed his swing. And then Seth Oliver has been with us also for 4 years, and Seth has been pretty consistent for us. But they are core, you know, Blake Hicks, Seth Oliver, Cameron Duke, and
the one kid's name I can never pronounce.
There's one more with that group. It's Seth, Blake, Duke.
And the kid's name that I can't pronounce. Ola Matamalapalan?
Hey, man, who's the fourth time beat? Oh, I'm going to miss it. We got the catcher, we got the shortstop, we got the outfield, and we got the pitcher. Yeah, it was five of them. Oh, LeBlanc, of course. But it was five of them that actually came in. Garrett Jimenez, but Garrett didn't come back this year. But they're the core of, you know, our team because they came to us out of high school. And they played in 3 straight championships and winning 2 of them. So, and the other thing about it, all of them will graduate this May, which is on time. So, they have definitely made their time count at TSU. And that's kind of what we, you know, put the emphasis on, you know, make your time count and how would you want to be remembered. And I think all of them have incredible stories.
Well, what's the kid's, how do you pronounce your left fielder's name?
That's Olajide Olantemalian. Yeah, he and Sanchez come in together, and of course, we'll try to build a team around them next year because it'll be their senior year. But they've been a big part of our success, too, since they've been in over the first 2 years, and you know, with this season continuing on, they are a big part of it, both of them. But OJ, you know, his first year, he had, I want to say, 9 home runs or 10 home runs, maybe.
10 home runs and 40-some-odd RBIs.
Yeah. But it's like, now, last year, I want to say he led the team in every, pretty much every statistical offense category that there was.
Well, the thing.
He cooled off at one time. He had a lot of strikeouts, but, you know, he led the team in stolen bases and, you know, slugging percentage, doubles, home runs. You know, he still had a pretty darn good season last year.
Well,
he didn't drop off much from his freshman year.
Well, the thing about him is, see, I'm a stats guy, and I look at everybody's stats, What I really look hard at is what teams do against ranked teams, top teams, and teams, the strength of schedule. And what he, the 10 home runs, well, the home runs he hit last year, a lot of those came against your top non-conference tough schedule teams.
Yeah.
And that's why he, that's why he garnered some awards.
Yeah, that tells you that this kid does have some, you know, he's toolsy. And Sanchez the same way. Sanchez, you know, I want to say 80-something percent of his home runs has been against opponents outside of conference. Yeah, so Sanchez is kind of doing what OJ was able to do last year, too.
Well, to move right along and switch subjects, a lot of collegiate baseball coaches, they built their programs, not just the play on the field, but home field, playing field. How can Texas Southern better itself to get its own baseball stadium, to have its own home field? And if that does happen, could that lead to a 40-45 win season?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think it will happen. I want to tell you that, like in most programs, you know, you have to win in order for anything to, you know, to get the facilities and stuff like that. So, that's what we're focusing on right now. It would probably take for us to make a run outside of regional, winning our regional, and probably, I would say, to make it to Omaha in order for it to happen here in the recent, in the near future. But it's not out of our realm for it to happen this year, because I think we got the kids on the bus to do it with. So, but theoretically, the problem that we have with Texas Southern is just, we just don't have any space on campus. We don't have any space, and being that, you know, the school is, it's a commuter school, but we're pretty much locked in on space. So, you know, we've been looking at it. It's been something that our administration has, know that they're going to have to deal with it, especially not only for us, but for the softball program also. So we're hoping to turn the corner on that. But I would think that it would take something big to happen, but to happen in the near future, in terms of us making a deep run in the postseason. You know, I can see it happening.
A lot of HBCU... A lot of HBCU baseball programs don't have their administrative backing. From what you, from the gist of what you're saying to me, you have the administration behind you. You just have to find a way to get it done.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have the pieces, all the components in place for us to do it. We just have to do it, and that's just performance based. We have to do it in order to get the facility, you know, and it's like that, you know, whether it's fair or not, you know, we know what we're dealing with, and, you know, we don't make any excuses for anything. It is what it is. We know what we signed up for, and we try to let our recruits know what they're coming into, and so we've been able to turn so many negatives, well, people would see it as negatives, in the positive, but isn't that what life is about, a response? And so that's what we're doing, and that's what our kids do really well.
And they seem to do it well because, like you said, their academics ranks up there. And it ranks up there with a lot of your non-HBCU powerhouses. And a lot of it, it's even better. But what's intriguing to me is not only are they on the road, but and high like-minded ball players, but they seem to transition well once they get away from baseball.
Yeah, and I want to go back to, you know, the question you asked me earlier. I don't think I put it into terms like I was trying to say, but what it was is change based on performance. That's it. plain and simple. You know, if we're going to see a change, then it's going to be based on performance. And I just don't think we've done enough to create a situation where that's going to change. So that's what I meant by we're going to have to make a deep run, and then I can see things change.
Well, what I'm hoping for, and I've been covering collegiate baseball for a long time, especially at the HBCU level, more at the HBCU level than any other. What I'm hoping for, and I see it a lot at the small school HBCUs, I'm hoping, and it's there's several teams that it can happen for, that they take HBCU and they host a regional, or they play in a regional every year. And I see Texas Southern as being one of those teams. And a region opens up doors. It opens up an avenue. It opens up, you got teams across the country that will pay you to come play them, or will pay to come down and see you. And I see Texas Southern as being that one team.
Sure. Yeah, you take, for instance, what we did in the regional tournament at College Station, in 2015, we carried, I think one of the best teams in the nation that year, Texas A&M, to the seventh inning, and I want to say, you know, score like 2-0, or maybe 0-0, and then the right fielder comes up and hit a home run to kind of give them the momentum in the late inning. But just that we carried them into the seventh inning, and I want to say that the score is like 0-0. And then the team that we lost to the next day, very competitive ball game, that ended up being the team that wins the College World Series the next year, the very next year. But we got guys standing on base with two outs to get the winning and the tying and the winning run in. So that tells you a lot about how close we are. And then you look at what our program did last year in the LSU regional. You know, we were very competitive against LSU, and at one point, you know, we were leading going into the, I want to say the fifth or sixth inning. You know, it didn't get out of hand until late, but we were very competitive, and we had a chance to win that ball game. Then we jump up on Rice 5-0 the next day in the first inning, and that one kind of got away from us late. So we right there on the cusp of, you know, being in the position where we may see ourselves moving past the region.
It's funny because the Florida Gators beat Bethune-Cookman in a regional, and they became the eventual champions. But they had to beat an HBCU. And then they meet LSU in the championship game in Omaha, Nebraska, and LSU just happened to beat Texas Southern. So do you see how far HBCU is coming?
Absolutely. And you know, and I can talk about a lot of other HBCU programs that's doing as well as us. Also, of course, Alabama State. A few years ago, they fared really well against a top 25 schools, and even Jackson State was able to win a regional game. So I want to make mention of them as well, playing really good baseball against top opponents on the big stage. But I would say, you know, the one thing about Texas Southern is that our RPI ratings, if you pay attention to it, I want to say for the last 5 or 6 years, we played a very, very, very grueling schedule. And it's meant to be that way so we can be battle tested and get our kids ready to play. And that's what's working for us.
Well, Coach, I appreciate your time. I appreciate you coming on board and opening up Texas Southern baseball, because we will be watching come conference championship, and I will be rooting for you. Don't get upset, other HBCUs, but that's just the way it is. You know, you got to root for somebody.
And I want to take the time out to thank you for doing this, because I think that it's a really great thing to, you know, for anybody else, you know, who's listening, to understand that there's no excuses to be made. It's all about opportunities, and you make do with what you have, and you can really do some great things you know, you just have to work on being creative, do things collectively, but always keep your kids first in mind. You know, that's been a big part of it, you know, that we really focus on the student athlete.
Well, that's what it's about. It's not about, and I tell a lot of coaches this when I see them at games and I talk to them at games, the many coaches, whether it's a small school or large school, HBCU, and even the non-HBCUs, because I attend a lot of games, and I say to them, you know, you put the product on the field, and Black College Nines will write about it, because it's all about the kids and the fun that they have and the heart that they put on the field. It takes a lot to go to college and to study, but it takes a lot to be a student athlete.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I agree. Absolutely.
Well, Coach Robertson, God bless you and God keep you, and we will be talking more and more, because like I said to you, I got a sneaky feeling, and I'm not going to tell you what I know, but a couple of your players are going to be appearing on some awards list this year.
I think that'll be great, because they're very deserving of it. Like I said, we've got at least two or three guys that have a breakout season, and you know, look at the opponents that they're doing it against. I think they deserve all the recognition that comes their way.
And it's coming. Coach, it was well spoken and well worth the time speaking to you. I plan on doing this again with you.
Well, thank you very much. Thank you for taking time out to find out about Texas Southern program.
No problem.
The situation at CSU.